Before we come to our scripture reading, you will notice that in today's bulletin there are a few slogans or some extra information. And I want to ask you, please take this home with you and read through it a bit later. It meant so much for me while I was preparing this morning's service, and I hope it will have some value for some of you who read it as well. Our scripture reading this morning is first from the Hebrew Testament, from the later prophet Micah, chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? And then in the New Testament, the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26, consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Here ends our scripture reading. May it be that after reading and being in church this morning, we will be able to say deep in our hearts, thank you, God, that I could be in church this morning, because somehow I heard your voice while we were singing, while we were reading, while we were praying. Thank you for being with us at that time. In my high school years, I had a very dear friend, and he and I used to play games with one another. And we were always challenging one another in the Boy Scout movement to climb a higher mountain, to accept a new challenge. And after so many years, we saw each other again a few weeks ago. What a reunion it was. Then we were high schoolers. Now we were both, well, not old, but a little bit up in the years. And we went to the most southern point in Africa. And he and his wife took me and my wife for the day around the beautiful Cape Peninsula. And wow, but it is beautiful. Until we came to the actual Cape Point. And then as we got out of the cars, he grabbed me by the arm. And he pointed to Cape Point. It's a high way up, but there is a funicular that you can go up with. And he pointed to the binocular. He said, that's not for you and me, is it? We shall walk. And I saw the distress in my wife's eyes and his wife's eyes. But I suddenly realized that the old challenge of high school was on again. Oh yes, it's now 50 years later, but that's what it was. Now, I discovered one thing, that while you're doing that, and I can assure you it wasn't all that easy, we both made it to the top. But I found the one excuse to stop and say, this is so beautiful, let me take a few pictures first. And in the process, I got opportunity just to catch my breath again. Indeed, while touring the most beautiful parts of South Africa, the land of our birth, we once again and often unexpectedly became aware of beauty in nature that simply defies human description. And I discovered that after a period of looking, enjoying, taking in, a familiar tune constantly sort of jumped back in my mind. And I found myself reciting to myself, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds your hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, your power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to you, how great thou art, how great thou art. New understanding, new insights, new experiences, and enough inspiration to return to this pulpit with new enthusiasm and with so much joy. It also provided time to think, to pray, to wonder, and to wrestle with our mission, our task, our church, its future. And I'm sure that not a day went by without me wondering, pondering, sometimes with fear, sometimes with jubilation and joy, about the great Kuvadis initiatives that we decided upon for our beloved church. And I realized on coming back, getting ready for the fall, that this is indeed a time for action as we prepare for what could turn out to be the most important period in the life of our church for the future of our church. Now, most of us have seen and enjoyed the outstanding movie wherein Tom Hanks stars as Forrest Gump. Now, in a humorous way, we get to know and love his naive, this simple, naive-minded man whose mother's philosophy guided him through an eventful life. You may recall that whenever he landed in a difficult situation, he remembered his mother's advice, challenging him, run, Forrest, run. And somehow it worked, because he often succeeded to outrun difficult situations. Oh yes, there was a message in that advice. And in a different story, I recently came across the same philosophy. But this time it was a reporter who asked a little guy how he managed to come away from a recent vicious dog attack and that he was still unharmed. Now you can almost picture the serious expression on the little guy's face as he said, well, you know what? Just right in the middle when the dog attacked me, the Lord spoke to me. Oh, really? Asked the doubtful reporter. And what did God say? Well, he said, run, Johnny, run. And I did. Now I thought, maybe that is a message for all of us who love this church. In Kuvadis, our church is running a race with definite, lofty, and worthy goals in mind. I believe that at least once you should hear from this pulpit, run, Cocoa Beach Community Church. Run. It is time for us to run. The prophet, the Hebrew prophet Micah, lived in Jerusalem around 700 years before Christ. And interestingly enough, that is the same period that the prophet Isaiah also lived. And Micah was crying out against the injustice being practiced in both Samaria and Jerusalem. And he also offers a vision of a great day of peace and salvation that was still to come, with Jerusalem being featured as the center of the kingdom of God. Well, remember, this is 7 centuries before the birth of Christ. Now, despite the fact that most church members know very little about Micah, they find it reassuringly familiar when hearing these words. And somehow we have taken the words of Micah from the Hebrew Testament and we have translated it into the New Testament. And we often quote it in connection with the New Testament. The question, what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? It is significant that when asked what Israel must do to get right with God, 2 of the 3 behaviors prescribed to them long ago involve establishing right human-to-human relationships. 2 things, said the prophet Micah. You need to do justice, and you need to love kindness. Amazing. Altogether, it's almost 3,000 years ago. But nothing much has changed. I believe the message today is maybe even just stronger than then. In our human-to-human relationships, doing justice and loving kindness. Then came the 3rd command, walking humbly with God. Now, this invokes an unusual verb form, to walk with, to walk with God. How do you walk with God? Now, the best translation I could find was to live within communion with God. To live in communion and to live a life where you also communicate with God. Oh, God speaks to us in many different ways, and often we are sure deep within that was God's voice specifically for me at this specific moment in my life. Do we walk in such a way with God in times like these? Do you discover from time to time that while you're driving your car, that somehow you have switched gears inside and that your mind is reaching out and seeking and communicating with God? Do you often, when you are busy contemplating life and the reality of life that you have to cope with day after day, that before you know it, you are wondering, what would God have me do? 3 attitudes that come to us from 3,000 years ago. And these 3 attitudes outweigh any and all sacrificial actions that the Israelites have traditionally relied upon to keep them on God's good side. Micah's not saying you shouldn't be doing all the good things that you believe you are doing to stay on God's good side. It's okay to have your offerings, Micah said. It's okay to have your many laws and your many rules and your many things that you're doing. But it is more important these three things. And I cannot help it. But sometimes it gets tough to stand in this pulpit. If you think it's easy, I've got news for you. If you know how difficult it can be to deep inside, to feel the responsibility, to say, oh God, somehow, someday in my life, I have pledged to be doing this as long as I live. And then sometimes I feel so insignificant, so small, and yes, let me admit, sometimes overwhelmed with the challenging road ahead. But then it comes as a word of consolation. Then it is as if Micah is saying to me, and I believe to us, come on now. Come on now, you have a great God. What does the Lord require of you after all? Go ahead. Do justice. Love kindness. And remember to always walk humbly with your God. So this is part of the heart of our faith. Born out of our faith. Our love and our gratitude for our faith, that you and I resolve to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. We are not always that humbly. As that humble, I remember a specific time when I got a wake-up call, because I'm reminded how pleased I was. Shortly after coming to this country, I couldn't even speak English properly. And unexpectedly, a large high school there in New Jersey, in the area where our church, first church was, came with the invitation and said, Reverend, our senior class had a vote, and they voted that we should invite you to preach their graduation sermon. Whoa! I thought, not bad, Fred. Afterwards, I spoke of the invitation as a truly significant honor. But a bit later, the truth, the real truth, reached my ears. You see, in fact, the students divided themselves for that specific Sunday, and they went to all the neighborhood churches, and they went with stopwatches. And they checked with stopwatches which minister was preaching the shortest sermon. And that was the only reason why I got the invitation. So my significant moment became a humbling experience. Let's face it. Humility is not in oversupply in our times. I recently read that female rapper Queen Latifah was asked about the sin of pride. And then she responded in the interview, pride? A sin? Who says so? I wasn't aware of that. I don't think pride is a sin. I think some idiot made that up. Those were her exact words. Well, the Bible says, do justice, do love kindness, and walk humbly with God. We could be in trouble, all of us, when we put this verse up to measure ourselves with. Somebody once said, it's hard to be humble when you're all that great. And Golda Meir said, don't be so humble, you're not all that great. Who wants to walk humbly? There is a verse from the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. But we have a contrast in our times. We say, if you try being meek in today's world, you will pay a price somehow or other. And that's where the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians squarely backs up what Micah said so many years before the New Testament times. Paul writes, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. God has chosen the things that are not, that he might nullify the things that are, that no one should boast before God. Oh yes, there is something to be said for being humble. There is something noble, something saintly about being meek. Remember, being humble does not mean being a doormat for anyone crossing your way. Many people are mistaken for being humble just because they have back trouble. They have no spine. They are not humble. They are simply cowards. That is not the kind of meekness that Jesus was praising in the Sermon on the Mount. If Jesus had been meek in the sense of being timid, of being a pushover, then he never would have ended up on a cross. Jesus was strong. A person of conviction who did not let others intimidate him. So the question comes to us so many years later. At times in our lives, all of us will be in deep water. No exceptions. Not one of us will go through this life without experiencing deep, sometimes dark, and often dangerous waters. The deeper question is, at such times, where will you and I put our trust when those days come? Will we put it in our keen intellect? If you think you will, got bad news for us. Keen intellect can pass like this in our lives. Shall we put it in our robust health? Oh yeah. In seconds, everything can change. Will we then put it in our stocks and in our bonds or the equity in our home? Well, turn on your television or the radio, and you will realize that's the place where you should definitely not put it. I'm just saying, there will come a time when all of these things that we value so highly will not be there for us, will fail us. So if we put our trust in ourselves, in our accomplishments, in our possessions, in our investments, there will come a time, regardless of how much we have accumulated, when we will stare into the darkness and feel the waters of defeat and death rise around us. That's a fact of life. I believe, or I wouldn't stand here. I'm sure you believe, or you wouldn't be here, that if we put our faith in our God, if we confess that our strength and our ability are inadequate, And when we reach out and touch the hem of His garment, that God's strength and God's ability will never fail us. I think then we will also discover why the humble and the meek of this world are called blessed in Scripture. Christian humility is not cowardice. It is not a summons to be a doormat. Rather, it is an invitation to work behind the scenes in an enterprise greater than any of us could ever accomplish on our own. It is an invitation to appreciate the simple blessings in life. And it is an invitation to trust God, whose strength will never fail. I've heard these words from the lips of several dying people in my life. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even then I shall fear no evil, for You are with me. So after all, what does the Lord require of us today? Friend, do justice. Love kindness. And walk humbly with your God.